This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where do you guys want to start? Do you guys want to start? Why don't we start with the depth? Because we talked a lot about Pastrnak last episode. We'll get back to him this episode as well. But the fact that some guys are scored against New Jersey that kind of no-showed some of the other games over the course of the last few weeks, I think it's important to get to. And I don't know if you guys want to start with Minton or Lysell, or is there anyone that you really had like a thought on that you wanted to get out there?
I'd like to quickly just go to Lysell first, because Scott had an accurate criticism of Lysell's game that I thought last night he actually exemplified what Scott was saying he should be doing more often, which is challenging defense and attacking the middle of the ice, especially in transition. And I thought that he was much better at that last night against New Jersey. He looked to have a little bit more pep in his step, a little bit more confidence. So I just wanted to make that observation here and see what you guys thought about his game last night. Outside of his first career point.
100%. Like, I even tweeted, I was like, where, and I wasn't trying to be sarcastic. Like, I'm like legitimately thinking to myself, like, where has this Fabian Lysell been for the last seven games? Because yeah, the Fabian Lysell you saw last night was picking up the puck at his own blue line, single-handedly transitioning through the middle of the ice, and then dishing off. Often it was Pavel Zacha on the wing to create space. Then he was driving the net. He had set a screen on a Zacha chance at one point. Was looking for opportunities to shoot. Like, yeah, like that Fabian Lysell, if he plays like that consistently, can be an NHLer and can stick around and help this team. It's just like, you see it for not just like a couple shifts, but really consistently all night long Tuesday, where he's looking to attack and he's making smart decisions with the puck on his stick. And you're just like, what, like, why wasn't that there for seven games? And now we'll see, right? He's going to play these last three games. I don't expect him to get sent down. So let's see if he can finish with, you know, stacking together four good games here. Because now if he disappears for the next three, like, that doesn't help. You can't just have one good game out of 10. But that was a, like, that was a 180 over the Fabian Lysell we had been seeing. And I hope he builds off it, because that's, like, what he was doing last night is really valuable, because this team doesn't have enough transporters of the puck through the neutral zone. And it absolutely can be a strength for him. And for one game, it definitely was.
I'll tell you what I think happened. I think he adjusted and started to feel comfortable with the pace at this level. I just feel like there's like a learning curve where you get in and it feels really fast. And then you start to make decisions with the puck really quickly. and you know you don't have a lot of time to make plays, so you defer. And then as you get a few more games under your belt, you are like, okay, well, I do actually in this situation have a little bit of extra time to do this. Or this that I was doing well in the AHL does translate to the NHL, and your brain is starting to comprehend some of the stuff you can and can't get away with. So you're adjusting as you get more experience under your belt. So I think his confidence has started to come into play because he feels like he now knows when to make certain plays, and in his decision-making is informed by some experience at the NHL level. So to me, that's what it looked like. His confidence looked like I feel bad for him sometimes, because I feel like sometimes when he's out there, he looks like, you know, he's so wrapped up in trying to just like figure things out that he's not having fun. But it felt like he looked like he was having fun against New Jersey. He saw him smile more. His body language was better. His confidence, like he was standing pretty tall. He was doing what he was supposed to do. And this is what my point was that you can't say that someone is going to be a bust when you haven't given them a chance to make the adjustments. He's only 9 games in, and at the time we were having this conversation, I think he was like 6 or 7 games in. It's like, you can't just throw someone into the fire. Like, it's just like throwing a baby into a pool and expecting them to swim like right away. No, you have to get swimming lessons. Like, you have to be able to learn and give someone time to.
I mean, people do that though.
Yeah, well, I don't personally think that's a great idea, but you know, but you just give them time to figure it out. And I think you saw him translating, you know, some of the coaching that he's been getting, as well as just the adjustments to understanding the speed of things now. And it was good for him. He got his first point. He's played 9 NHL games at this point this season. He got his first point on middle stats goal, and very happy. So it was nice to see him have that sigh of relief moment, I'm sure, getting his first NHL point.
Let me give an example of throwing somebody into the fire and it not being a good idea. A couple of weeks ago, you guys know I had to go up to Maine, to Sunday River for a bachelor weekend. One of my good buddies is getting married, and I have never once skied in my life. I made that abundantly clear to everybody. Well, I'm getting my ski rentals, which, by the way, were probably 40 years old, and they were busted when I got up to the top of the mountain. So, and I found that out when I got up there, so that's great. But I'm getting my ski stuff, and you know how this thing works. All the guys that are avid skiers, they already took off of the mountain. They're on their black diamonds doing whatever without me.
And they're telling you it's easy, Brian. You'll get it.
Yeah. Well,
gravity, man.
so all the experienced skiers, you know, they couldn't wait to rise and shine and go to the mountain, you know, and do their thing. So by the time I got to the mountain, I wasn't with those same people. I was with a couple of other beginners who had skied before, but I never had. So I'm getting my ski stuff, and of course, they don't allow goggle rentals. So I had to go up and buy goggles. Now I feel like I'm holding people up. Long story short, I was so overwhelmed that I didn't have the opportunity to really look around. I'm trying to walk to the ski lift. You have to go through these like conveyors. You have to show up. I don't even know how to walk on skis. I put skis on for the first time in my life. And next thing I know, 7 minutes later in real time, I'm at the top of a blue. And I said, no, we're going too high. I've never skied before. I told you this. Oh, we won't, you son of a bitch. So, and then
Brian, this happened to me before too.
Bridget, then he lifts the bar for the ski slope. Okay. Probably 400 yards too early. The wind is gusting. I'm like, I'm about to fall out of this thing. I'm not supposed to be this high. 7 minutes after I put skis on for the first time in my life, I'm at the top of a blue. I can't even walk on skis, let alone go down this thing. So I'm pissed, but at this point I'm like, there's nothing else I can do. I have to get down this mountain now. And of course, at the top of the mountain, I took a massive fall, smacked my head, whiplash the next day. And then I got the hang of it a little bit, but the conditions, guys, it was late March, so it was a mixture of ice, slush, and dirt. Could you imagine? Could you imagine somebody? And if you're a skier out there, you would know to go from putting ski boots on, which by the way go up to your kneecaps. Talk about clumsy and skis for the first time in your life. And then not even 10 minutes later, you're going down a blue because your friends just don't have any care or concern for you. Oh, we'll throw you into the fire.
My dad did this to me when I was 18. My dad did this to me. My dad said, you don't need a lesson. We're going to bring you up to the top. We're just going to let you go. And the fact that I lived is actually probably only because I knew how to skate. Because I only knew how to go straight. No one told me how to slow down, turn, stop, nothing.
Yeah.
My brother's a great skier. I'm going so fast down the mountain that even my brother can't catch me because I'm just going straight. And I'm going at, it was a blue, and I'm going at this split in the trail where they had like a cement pylon where with a thing that shoots out the snow.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped short of it by like 2 feet. I probably would have died if I didn't know how to skate because I hockey stopped. Right in front of it. I made it down the mountain without falling. But as soon as I got down to the bottom, I immediately started crying because I knew I almost died. And I just started crying and I said, if I don't get another lesson, if I don't get a lesson, I am not going back up to the top. But yes, Brian, I know what you mean. But just have to find a way to spread your wings and fly.
But what I'm getting out of all this is that we've really missed an opportunity for some great skate pod social media content.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, guys, it was something. It was truly something. I know that if you're a skier out there and you know about black diamonds and double blacks, and you know, obviously a blue is considered moderate, right? But again, for only having skis on for about 10 minutes real time for the first time, I couldn't even walk. And it's steep at the top of a blue. It gets a little bit better, but in any event, you know, skiing down. I'm getting back to it. So I think it's honestly skiing down a blue for the first time in March with slush, snow, and dirt is pretty similar to Fabian Lysell hitting the NHL with this roster around him as well. It's tough sledding, as they say. So to Bridget's point about adjusting, it's absolutely true. Like you can work on good habits down in the minors and execute them. The game happens that much quicker and faster that the decision making, it's an adjustment period. And the three of us on here, none of us were not acknowledging that. And when Scott was criticizing Lysell, he wasn't saying he was a bust at all. So yes, but now let's see if he can continue this forward in the remaining games.
Yeah, and what I would say as well, and like I think I probably made this point, is he's getting this much time to adjust and learn and bounce back because they're out of it, because they're not a good team and they can afford to give him the time to do this. If this was a more competitive team competing for a playoff spot, he wouldn't get 8 or 9 games to figure it out. You'd get 2 or 3. And if there wasn't tangible signs of improvement, he'd be back in Providence. So fair or not, like, sometimes you need to figure it out quicker. Sometimes you need to do something to turn heads in your first or second game, because if you don't, you're not going to get an 8th, 9th, 10th game. So he's getting more time because they can afford to give it to him. And to his credit, he finally had the kind of game we've been waiting for. As we've all said, like, now let's see if he continues to do it for hopefully three more games here before the end of the season.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, then go to Providence and have a really good AHL postseason.
Yeah. And then there's Fraser Mitton, who we should talk about too, who got his first goal with the Bruins, not his first NHL goal, because he had two with Toronto. He played 15 games in Toronto, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points with them. Came to the Bruins, played a few games in Providence, gets the call up. This is his third game with the Bruins. And he has this crazy spin around shot that finds its way into the net. Pretty confident looking shift from him. So he gets his first goal as a Bruin, you know, another one that you got to fish out of the net, grab it for him so he can hang it up somewhere, put it with his other firsts. And I guess we can talk about his progress maybe through three games, or just what you've noticed as a whole.
Yeah, this was another guy who took a clear step last night. You know, I think you had seen some good things from Minton in his first couple games, especially the Carolina game. I thought, you know, along with just about everyone else, had a pretty – well, actually, I won't say along with just about everyone else, because not everyone did play well in that game, but I thought he did. Not so good against Buffalo. But, yeah, I liked that line on Tuesday. Thought they did their job in the defensive zone. He did his job. And then they were able to get out the other way and generate some offensive chances. And his goal was a good example of going to the front, being there to collect a rebound. He ended up 50% on faceoffs, which I noticed, you know, he had struggled his first couple games, which is not unusual. A lot of young players struggle on faceoffs early in their career. Just takes time to kind of learn the tricks of the trade against NHLers who have been doing it for 10 years. But yeah, for the most part, I like what I've seen from Fraser Minton. Like, I think Razor said on Sunday Skate, like he looks like an NHLer, and that doesn't necessarily mean he's here to stay and he's making the team out of camp next year, but I think he's going to have a chance to, because he has the two-way responsibility that gives him a much higher floor than more offensive prospects, where it's like, at the very least, like, Fraser Minton can play in your bottom six and probably not hurt you. Now if he can start to build some offense on top of it, then you have a legit third liner, and then you see if there's even more upside from there. But, like, start with that and you'll be pretty happy.
Yeah, I mean, the goal last night was certainly a nice finish, right? It's a nice spin-around shot. What I like the most about that goal is where it was scored from and how you get to that spot in the ice, right? It's where you score goals. It's the middle of the ice. It's the slot. You're not afraid to get a cross check to the ribs. You're not afraid to get a slash to the back of the legs. You're not afraid of any body contact. You're going to where the dirty area, as they say. And I think that he does that throughout the course of play. He gets to the front of the net. He forechecks hard in the corners. He's deep in his own defensive zone, right, to give defensemen outlet passes. So, like I said last episode, to me, especially for a 20...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Year-old kid, he plays a mature game. He respects the game. And yeah, I've really enjoyed what I've seen out of him. Certainly, like, he's going to have to be an offensive producer at a probably, let's call it a 35 to 45 point pace throughout his career if he's going to be a really good third liner, if that is indeed where he ends up as a third line. But, I mean, it's obviously too early to predict that. But as far as what I've seen so far, he plays a mature game. And I've enjoyed seeing a young player respect the details that is required at this level, any level, but to do it at this level at a young, ripe age of 20. Again, how old's Matt Patra? We applaud Matt Patra for this. I think they're the same age.
Yeah, Patra's 21 now, so I think Minton's actually like almost a full year younger.
So he's there you go.
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple good hits, so you like the physicality. Reverse hit on Jesper Bratt. I will say the one tough play was on New Jersey's second goal. It ends up being Timo Meier's goal. Eric Hall's shot goes off him. Minton gets a pass in his own slot, and it's a little bit in his skates, so it's not a perfect situation. But he just kind of takes a little too long to find it, and that leads to the turnover, where, again, like, difference between AHL, NHL speed, that's one where, you know, in the NHL, if you don't pick it up cleanly right off the bat, like, just whack that thing to the boards and live to fight another day. So that's probably – I would just point out is, like, the one learning moment from last night.
Bridget, can I also just mention one other – improvement in the New Jersey game about Minton before you respond to any of this is because I did want to mention this last episode that an area of improvement I needed to see from him as well. Obviously, in his first two games, the offense wasn't there, but it's such a small sample that the eye test was telling me that he wasn't doing great in the faceoff circle. And I'm looking at his faceoff percentage against Carolina, and he was 36.4% in the draws. And then against Buffalo, he was 33.3% in the draws. Last night, he was 50%. So, obviously, two out of three games, he's kind of gotten handled at the faceoff dot, and that's going to have to be an area of improvement as well. Obviously, he did well against New Jersey, but if you're going to be a center iceman, the most obvious start is in the faceoff dot. That's where you start plays, where you gain possession and whatnot. Obviously, it's faceoffs are not just center versus center, right? It's the wingers and D helping out, but that's an area as well that I'm going to be watching is his faceoff percentage.
I was going to say his physicality, right? Because he's a bigger guy and he seems to be pretty strong on his skates. He's 6'2". He looks big out there. If you go watch him in person, he looks like he's pretty big, and he led the forward group in hits. Now he was only credited with two, when everyone else was just credited with one or none, but I thought I saw him make pretty good body contact more than twice. And I think if he uses his body, the way that he can and his size the way that he can, and improves in that, he'll also have that value of being a bigger, I'm not saying like he's going to be the kind of guy that goes out of his way to like make big hits or gets caught out of position trying to do it. And that, not that it's his role, but the fact that he can be physical is also an asset to him.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be part of his role. Like, I do think that's going to be part of the expectation is for him to play physical. Maybe, you know, not to the extent of a Mark Kastelic, but yeah, Fraserman's going to be counted on to throw some checks, to get in on the forecheck, hit guys, close off plays in the D zone. I think it's in his game, and I think it's, you know, to be a really good bottom six forward in the NHL, which again is where he's going to start. That's an important part of it. So, you know, does it have to be? You know, does he have to be a guy that throws 200 hits in a season? Maybe not, but I'd say he's going to have to, if he plays 82 games, it's going to be over 100. Yeah, it should definitely be part of his game.